So welcome, everyone. You are joining us, Kathy Binner and Rita Brewer, Fit as a Fiddle. And this is our free meetup that we do the fourth Monday of every month at 6 o'clock. And we get to talk to somebody amazing every month. And tonight's amazing person is Lauren. And Lauren, tell me, how do you pronounce your last name? I know I don't say it right.
It's Zajac. I always say it's like Pat Sajak, but with a Z, not an S.
Zajac.
Sounds exactly the same way.
I'll remember that name.
Zajac.
Zajac. Very good. So, Lauren, I'm going to go through your bio briefly, and then we're just going to jump right in. I can't wait to learn more about you. She is Western medicine trained, but she has a holistic heart. She thought she would practice traditional medicine until retirement, but a series of unexpected health challenges sent her down another path of becoming her own health detective. I love that, health detective. Her relentless research led her to the field of functional medicine and her pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Through principles and practices foreign to PA school education, her health transcended what she imagined was ever possible. Her life's mission is to guide and empower women to achieve ultimate health so that they can unapologetically live their most joyful and fulfilled lives. Welcome, Lauren.
Yay. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. So tell us, what is your backstory? I always get excited to find out how, you know, with the path everybody was on getting to the place where they are today. So what is your backstory?
Sure. Well, it starts off a little bit sad in the sense that at 42, my mom was diagnosed with kidney cancer. She passed away at 56, and her family had actually had quite a bit of early death. And I just figured that was kind of going to be my fate as well. So that happened. And then about 5 years later, my father was diagnosed with bladder and GI cancer. So for him, I just kind of freaked out. For her, it was like, oh, you know, it was bad luck. Maybe it was genetics. You know, our family just really stinks. This happens to some families. But then when you're second parent, you know, you're worried about then holding on to that other parent. And when that other parent then gets diagnosed, it totally rocked my world. And that's when I really kind of had this fear of becoming an orphan. And even though at the time I was, you know, 30 years old, I felt that way. I wanted to have a parent in my life. And I just kind of went a little crazy. I just started to kind of think back, okay, well, you know, I hear from my patients in practice every day. When I ask about their family's history, I always ask about a history of skin cancer, and they say, no, but I've had this or this person has this. And every single person rattles off cancer. It is so incredibly rare to have someone come in and be like, no, there's no cancer history in my family. So rare. So that's what's chugging through my brain at the time. That, and then on top of the fact that I didn't know how I could fix it. I wanted to go into fix it mode, and I wanted to make sure that my children didn't go through the same type of situation that I was going through. And that's where I just really went into this heavy research, deep dive, wanted to figure out, okay, it's not just prevention practices, what's going on here? And I really came to a large mound of information, of scientific research about toxicity. And so for me, my husband just kind of stood back, and I was like the Tasmanian devil, just wiping everything out of our house. And so I just kind of went, that was my little like midlife crisis, I guess, in a sense, that I just needed to change everything. And I wanted to make sure that I was moving forward in a much healthier direction, because we lived a standard American American lifestyle, and certainly standard American diet as well. So that was my family's history. And then at around the same time, I started to have my own symptoms, which were, I remember I was St. Patrick's Day. I was at a friend's house and I was holding a beer, and all of a sudden I took the beer away and my fingers were completely white in the areas that it was touching the beer. And I was like, they feel, you know, strange. That's kind of odd. And then it continued to happen throughout the winter and early spring, where my fingers would get really cold and they would stay cold, and the way that they would rewarm it just didn't make sense to me. And then on top of that, I was getting other kinds of thyroid symptoms, and I have colleagues that I went to just to kind of figure it out, and they couldn't help me. They were doing the typical blood work and everything that we normally were trained in medical and PA school. And they're like, there's nothing wrong. And intuitively, I knew there was something wrong. I knew my body had changed. I knew that this isn't the way. I didn't want to keep going down this road. So then I started certainly looking inward and looking at the research. And I'm like, okay, what truly is going on with myself? And then I started to focus there. Then it's like each member of my family, it just continues to snowball, which, you know, I'm thankful that it happened to me and I was already on this path. But then my son started to have a very sudden increase in anxiety between fall and spring semester of winter and spring semester of school, like right during that winter break. As soon as he came back to school in kindergarten, it was like a whole new kid. And I knew there was something going on. It wasn't just that he now was fearful of something at school. It was just something. And we found out that he had a really, really plummeted tryptophan issue. So his tryptophan, for whatever reason, was incredibly deficient, which causes anxiety and serotonin issues and anyone. So that was his issue. And then the final issue here, it was kind of like, I think God was just continuing to tell me these things, and I needed to move further down this path and just really open my eyes even more. And my youngest son, about 3 years ago, actually, he couldn't talk after a preventative measure. 72 hours after he had some kind of preventative injection, he couldn't speak. So I walked into his room.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary.
Yeah. So that was really what kind of, after that, I knew, thankfully, I already knew about functional medicine, and I knew that his brain was on fire. This was kind of like the final straw for him. It wasn't the only reason why this happened, but for him, it was the final straw. And it goes back to the whole toxicity piece of it. And so thankfully, he's remarkably better. He has regained speech and everything. He's about 75% better, but there's other underlying issues that we're still tackling. But I'm just so thankful that I'd already been exposed to functional medicine and that I allowed myself to be open to it. Because of my prior training, some of it might seem a little, you know, different and unusual to those that are classically conventionally trained.
Well, and that was my question. So as you're coming into these issues and problems and things that you're noticing, was there any one aha that made you go more holistic than the traditional? I mean, what was
I mean, for each of us, I think we married the two. I mean, I wasn't going to abandon conventional medicine. We married the two in the ways that we could. I certainly I went back to my primary care doctor. I went to their pediatrician. I knew with my youngest son, though, it was something that he couldn't stay in that state for long. So I called a local practice, and they were able to get him in within a couple of weeks. And we started the whole process of testing and everything. And I mean, it still took till he was dramatically better. It still took 6 months, but it's just still, it's so heart-wrenching to see the videos early on when I was videotaping it. So, you know, I could show people what's going, you know, on, and for those that believed us or didn't believe us, or, you know, all of that, I wouldn't impose that. I wouldn't want that for my worst enemy to go through something like that. But I am so thankful that it happened to me so that I could then use this. I mean, I just really feel like this was supposed to be my path. I went up the mountain of conventional medicine and I got to the top, and for a period of time, several years of my career, that was great. That was awesome. But then I was standing at the top and I felt alone at that point. And I knew that there was another mountain for me to climb. And that was on the more functional, holistic side, once we were having those issues. And I just was really, really thankful that other people had put the bug in my ear and that I was receptive to it, at least looking into the research, looking into the science. And that's the issue, where the big key in functional and holistic medicine is that we look at people as a sample size or an N of one. And when you're looking at scientific studies, everyone's worried about, oh, but there's not a study of 10,000 people to back that. There's not a large group. Well, guess what? We didn't all grow up in the same house with the same lifestyle and the same amount of toxins from the same mother who birthed us. I mean, it's all so variable that it really does play a huge role. So
could you name just one big aha moment when it all came together for you? Because I trust that you're a forever learner, same as most of us on the screen are. We're all forever learners. We're always learning something new. We're always wanting to learn something new. We're always open to learning. But was there a big aha moment that you said, all right, I've had enough. I got to just do this?
Well, for myself, when I actually saw results that I had gotten, I saw that I had crazy food sensitivities, all the things that I intuitively had thought. When I saw the actual results, my son, for him, he ended up being arsenic poisoned at 2.5 years old.
What? Yeah.
You think of arsenic and, you know, you think of it as something that, you know, might happen out of malice or something. But for him, it must have been in the baby food, because they've had it linked to that. It's in water and it's in rice and rice cereals. Yes, so if you think of everything that these kids eat, right? So that was one of the key players. So once I finally, my intuition, I went down this path. And then when I was getting the information and the actual results back, it was like, yes, this is what's going on. This would never have been caught in conventional medicine. I need to move forward in this direction. I need to be able to offer others to be able to really truly find out what's going on in their system, and not just kind of surface level, let's control symptoms as best we can.
So you know, go ahead, Rita.
The thing that kind of stands out for me so much, Lauren, when you're talking about this story, is that there's probably millions of people and parents out there that are going through the same thing that you went through, or similar things that you went through and that your children and your parents are going through. But most people don't know to look outside the box and be that detective that you've been, and such an amazing, you know, healer for your children. Because if we've just relied on the conventional model, none of this would ever have been discovered. So, you know, your family is so blessed that they've had you to be that detective and figure out what's going on and what can we do to make this better. And your son is now, you said, pretty much like back to normal, right?
After
what you've done for him. So it just all I can think about is all the other parents who don't know to do what you've done. And that's just so heartbreaking.
And it's truly a grassroots effort. And that's why I try to drip as much as I can into people, because, you know, it takes multiple exposures for kids to eat vegetables, right? We know they're not going to like ones, you know, maybe after 5 or 10 times. And the same thing with people that I meet and in conversations that I have. And that's what happened to me. My hippie friend in college, she was the one that was like in left field and out there. And she was the one that started, as we were on a journey together, when we reconnected, she started telling me about functional and holistic medicine just on the sidelines and just telling me little things like, oh, you might want to limit, you know, your kids' dairy. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, that's ridiculous. You know, these little things. And I'm like, let me look into this. And she kept doing that to me. And that's exactly why I still remembered, oh, I really need to look down that way. Or else if no one had exposed me to it, I'm sure there would have been, you know, there would have been lots of brain scans for him. There would have been a concern of cancer and everything else. And I'm so thankful we didn't have to wait and go down those roads, because I consulted what my colleagues would do in this situation. And then I had like good friends that are speech pathologists. Oh, stuttering is just normal. I said, stuttering doesn't happen in an instant when you have a kid that was above verbal speech markers. It doesn't happen like that. And because we only know what we know. And so at that point, you just try to fit it into a box. You try to fit those symptoms into a box. And that's what we're taught in conventional medicine, because that's the model. And that's just the way it is. And if you don't fit in, those symptoms don't fit into a box, what do we do with you?
Absolutely. I cut you off before, Kathy. Did you want to say something there?
No, this is great conversation. When I just look at the industry as a whole, just the big picture, what is it, Lauren, that makes you mad about the industry at large? What breaks your heart? And what is your overarching message that you want folks to know?
Well, what makes me upset is that there's so many financial interests that are involved. And it's just really unfortunate that the amount of money that we pay to go to school, we truly want to help people. And that might be part of the breaking my heart aspect, because I feel like everyone that goes into a helper profession wants to help people. So if you go, you want to be trained, you want to be in this type of situation and risk your life and whatnot, depending on what specialty or what you choose, you know, you expect that you're getting it all. You're getting it at face value. You're getting everything. You're equipped with everything that you need. And obviously now, after 17 years of practice, like I don't feel that way. I haven't felt that way for several years. And so I spent the money to go to a school where I've now found out, I didn't know then, but I now found out that pharmaceutical companies and I don't know if vaccine companies are yet, but pharmaceutical companies at least have such a hold on, and they have such sponsorship. And that, you know, why are we going to teach about different modalities that are cheap and easy and simple versus just giving all of the drugs and the immunization schedules and everything? And that's, to me, that's not right. Like, that's not doing what we set out to do. And so I feel like we were just set up to be minions of the pharmaceutical companies.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't sit well. I'm sure those that, you know, that wasn't our intention. That's never what we wanted to do. But yeah, you know, 25 patients a day for this many years, and you see patients, and it's kind of like, you just feel like, yes, some might feel like they definitely are improved or cleared from what you've done. But ultimately, a lot of the things that you're treating are coming back, and things are worsening in certain situations, and they're asking why. And there's so many unknowns as to why certain things are happening. When you're on that side, and you know, the amount of nutrition education we get is abysmal. We just are told, these are the symptoms, this is what you treat with, and there's no other outside, there's no marrying the two. And I'd love to see that, marrying the two and really mm-hmm. taking out those financial interests, but it's the way the world works. Money makes the world go round. I mean,
and so what makes you mad and what breaks your heart is kind of the same thing. It's really, yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
That's the same thing I said, Kathy, the last month, when you asked me the same question, I said the same exact answer as Lauren. Yeah.
I mean, we didn't go into this. It's kind of like the wool was pulled over our eyes in a very expensive manner, you know, lots of student loans on the back end. But at the same time, I look at it that way, and I try not to stay in that space because it's not healthy for me to be that way. So I look at it like, okay, if I didn't go to PA school and this didn't happen, you know, my life would be different. I might not have reconnected with Dina. I might not have got this information. I might not now be on the path that I'm on. So that's how I look at it now, is that we all went through what we went through. And I'm sure what I've done has been helpful to people. And I do a lot of skin cancer removal and stuff, and that kind of stuff, it certainly is. But when you're talking about actually just using medications to help suppress or to treat symptoms, yeah, that side of it, I just not happy the way that side went.
Mm-hmm. Well, give me a better picture of exactly what it looks like in a day for you. Can you, in what you're doing on a daily basis, do you have the freedom to marry the two as far as the holistic along with the traditional?
I don't. But what I do, and I think when it comes back to the exposure piece, you know, I have 25 patients a day, 20-minute appointments, back to back to back. There's no breathing room at all. And that's the 20 minutes is, you know, for the patient to be on time, for my nurse to go in, for me to see the patient and to do the note. This is what providers are doing day in and day out. And the burnout is astronomical. And I see every 20 minutes. I mean, there's lots of doctors and PAs that see every 10 minutes for things. And how do you get anything done? But what I do is I look at my patient and I see, okay, this is a 22-year-old that now already is on a whole list of medications. She has this many conditions already. And I make sure I go into that appointment and say, look, you know, I have a recommendation. There's a particular book that I recommend, actually, for anyone that's interested, that their ears are opened to looking at decreasing their inflammation in their body, because it all stems back to inflammation, and the inflammation can be driven from different things. So whenever that happens, and they seem up to it, then I'll give them the name of the book. It's called The Inflammation Spectrum by Dr. Will Cole. I think it's a great book because it explains what functional medicine is, why our society is as fat, sick, and tired as it is, how we've gotten to this place. There's also a symptom checklist so everyone can actually go through and see, because when you look at a checklist, it's powerful. If you think you have these things, but when you actually read over, you're like, oh my gosh, I do have that. It jogs your memory. Mm-hmm. So that book has that. And then he tells you how inflamed you are. And then he makes a couple recommendations. And then just even from that 8 weeks of the food changes, people feel dramatically better. So
does he recommend in the book, the food changes depending on,
okay. And then he also has a section of recipes at the end, and he does have some other books and other recipe books, but I think that's a great one for people to understand the concept of inflammation.
Perfect. Well, I wanted to backtrack for a second when you were sharing your story and all about, you know, what you went through with your parents and yourself and your kids. You and I both love to talk about toxins. So you mentioned, you know, all the toxins that you saw. So can you just for our audience, just kind of give an overview of what are some of these toxins that you're talking about? Where are they located? And then how are they affecting us, with different chronic diseases?
Absolutely. What I explain initially to patients, clients, about how we're all born with this, think about like a glass, and think about the different water levels that are in a glass. So everyone has a unique water level in their glass, and that water level is their toxic level. So when I think about my son at 2.5, not being able to speak, his water level must have been really close to the top, because it wasn't going to take much for his water to spill over and therefore create a symptom as dramatic as he had. So I go over that. I think that's a really powerful visualization for people to realize that, you know, we're never going to really understand that. Sometimes genetics plays into that. People have heard of this celebrity SNP called MTHFR, which doesn't allow us to detoxify as well. That's one of the pieces, and it may or may not be impacting people, but, you know, that's part of it. And depending on where you live, if you're in an urban environment, that's huge. So think about the things that we encounter on the most each day. The air that we breathe, and the water that we drink. We drink more water than we eat food. So if you think about prioritizing things, the air that you breathe is, you want to be clean, certainly within your house. You can't take care of that outside of the home. But in the house, there's, you know, great filters, carbon filters, ultra HEPA filters, those types of things, because there's lots of different microbes and viruses and certain spores that are out there and wreaking havoc as we're inhaling them. So there's toxins there. There's the environmental toxins that can leach through. There's also what you're breathing in from your house, all the different chemicals from the carpet that you're walking on to the paint that you have from the glue and the wood and the build. It's all the building materials and everything that's there too. So that's where the air piece comes in. With water, it's really important because all of the extra antibiotics and drugs, think about, you know, we drink the water and then we urinate the water out. Well, what do you think is coming out with the urine? It's all the metabolites and all the extra, you know, portions of what people are taking in. So yes, it goes through a water treatment plant, but it's not all being filtered out. And looking at your local water source is really important. So a reverse osmosis type of a water filter with remineralization, because what reverse osmosis does is it strips the water of everything. So you want to make sure you're bringing back the minerals. So you're actually taking those in. So we have one of those. We use stainless steel instead of plastic, because the plastics, that's a part of my piece, is that plasticizers, phthalates, which are in plastics, but also in makeup and skincare, that has all been sitting and storing in my fat cells for years. I've been very clean with all of my products for years, but what it does is it goes and it just sits in your adipose tissue, which is the fat cells that you have, and it will just stay there. It will not filter out on its own. So we talked about air, we talked about water. Certainly in the foods that we eat, it's important as much as you can to eat organically. Even non-GMO is better, but it still has a lot to be left to be desired when it comes to how much they do take out and what that non-GMO certification actually means. But there, the EWG, the Environmental Working Group, has a website where you can go on and see what the Dirty Dozen are, which are the most heavily sprayed foods, which I know strawberries are on the list, grapes are on the list, apples are on the list. Those are ones to look for. And then the Clean 15. So those are the foods that you can, you know, just what wait. That, those that have that heavier.
What is that site again, Lauren?
EWG.org. The Environmental Working Group.
Okay.
And that's a great place to go and vet products and ingredients as well. They have a rating schedule. So with your foods, you know, as much as you can organically is key. And then also with meats, it's not necessarily organic, but there's different levels of how things are raised. So with eggs, making sure they're organic and pasture raised, and same with beef, you want it grass fed and finished. That's better than just grass fed. So there's lots of little nuances to learn, but you know, any little step that you can take. I know so much of this when we talk about toxicity sounds really overwhelming. And what I did is I just took a few things, you know, as much as my budget could allow, but I recommend that people start with a room. Either the kitchen or the bathroom is the best place to start. So pick a room, look around. Okay, I'm cooking with plastic utensils. Those are plasticizers in there that when I heat up, those are leaching right into my food. So, okay, let me swap that out for what should I look into? Maybe silicone, maybe stainless steel, and then just swapping out some things. It'll make a massive difference. Every little step you take, mm-hmm. it'll be incredible to see the transformation months, a year down the road. And it doesn't need to break your you know, budget immediately. You don't have to just toss everything out, you know, just little by little. Room by room, I find is very helpful and kind of decreases the overwhelm for people when they hear about all the swaps that I've done. And when I look back now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I really have. But then I'll still find those crazy things. And I'm like, how did I not think about that till now? One with a hairdryer, you're burning plastic right in your face, you know, so switching to ceramic it's funny what I'll still come up with, but that's going to happen. Sure. And you can't always avoid it. And it's just really trying to get first the higher yield things and then moving towards the others. But toxicity is such a massive problem. And what people don't understand when we talk about toxicity from everything that we're using, we're putting on our skin and anything we inhale and what we place on our skin, those are what hit us the most. I mean, our skin is really considered a giant mouth. Anything that you put on your skin, you should, in theory, be fine to eat. You wouldn't necessarily want to pick up your lip pencil and eat it, but the ingredients, you should really be able to eat it. It should be that clean. And there's lots of clean and organic companies out there, but really scrutinizing that, because there is a term called greenwashing. And what greenwashing is when things look nature-esque and look fancy and have greens and flowers and browns and things that look like they're, you know, all about nature. But when you look on the actual chemicals, you know, on the ingredient list, there's a ton of chemicals. And the worst one is fragrance. So anything that you have that says fragrance or perfume or parfum, which is the French word for fragrance, make sure you take those out. Make sure that should be the first thing. I mean, if you're not going to do anything else, if all the rest of it kind of sounds really overwhelming, start there. Just look around your house in your cleaning products and your beauty products and your personal care products. And I can guarantee the majority of them will say fragrance, right, Rita? I know,
absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's
no question. Yeah. So I love the way you talked about the water glass thing, just to backtrack to that. For people to really understand. So, you know, we can't completely detoxify our bodies like 100% because we're just bombarded by thousands and thousands of chemicals. But that water glass example just shows that, you know, maybe if you have low toxicity, you only have this much in the water glass. So our body is constantly working for our good. Our body is constantly trying to clean itself out and regenerate itself. Our liver and our kidneys are always working to cleanse our body and our lymphatic system. And we can handle those little bits of toxins because our body is working to clean it all out. But those little bits bits of every little thing that you, Lauren, just mentioned about all the different places that the toxins can come from, those little bits all add up. And to eventually that when that water glass is full of toxins, your body just can't handle that toxic overload anymore. That's when things the water starts to spill out, or the toxins start to spill out. And then that's when you really start to feel these symptoms, when you know something is wrong. You don't feel right. I don't know what it is. Why am I tired all the time? Why am I so fatigued? Why can't I get through the day? Why do I have headaches or chronic migraines, or my skin is breaking out? So I love that example.
And so, some of the most well-known functional medicine doctors, and they've all come from the conventional side. I mean, all of the docs, and they're either MDs, DOs, or chiropractors, that they all were on that side, and either something happened to them or to someone close to them. And there's one, Dr. Mark Hyman, which I know his was toxicity. So many of them are toxicity. Their stories have to do with mercury toxicity is a big one that I hear about time and time again, where it just made them crash. They could not get out of bed. They didn't know what was going on. They were having neurological symptoms. And that's really one of these toxins that is so ubiquitous in our in our society, because think of how many people, you know, our ages and older, you know, they're not using mercury anymore, but those amalgam fillings, like 50%, more than 50% of that amalgam filling is mercury. And anytime you have any kind of abrasion, you're chewing on that filling. If you haven't had it, you know, removed, which is a whole nother story, because that actually makes things worse when you remove them in the improper way. But if you're chewing on that, or you have a hot liquid, or you have something that's coarse, that's even abrading those fillings, even very, very, very mildly, that is actually releasing the vapors and you're inhaling that. So anyone that's out there that has any of those amalgam fillings, don't run to your dentist and get them out right away. There are different types of dentists called biological dentists. And there is a website, the IAOMT.org website, that you can actually find this information on biological dentists in your area, because it is so imperative that you have them taken out the right way. And mercury is a disaster. That's been a big one. But there's a concept called hormesis and the hormetic effect, where we need these little stressors in our lives to really help our bodies kind of improve their vitality. You want these little things. So think about, like, when you're exercising, you're doing squats, you're making these little muscle tears. So yeah, you're inducing trauma, but it's for the greater good. You know, your body's going to repair, and you're going to build up and bulk up the muscle that you need. But with toxins, you know, I guess people might think of it that way, like, oh, these little hits are okay. But you know what? Like you said, Rita, that's why the companies are getting away with this too, because they're like, oh, there's just a little teeny bit in here. It's below the level. Well, guess what? Every single day it's below the level until it continues to add up and add up and add up. And just depends on what your genetics is, what your background is. If you have a lot of other toxins because you live in an urban environment, or because you work in an industrial setting, maybe you're working with certain volatile chemicals or whatever you're doing, there's other characteristics and other factors that are at play there. So these little hits, like she said, add up until it's just that cup spills right over, and then you end up with autoimmune disease and other things.
Well, gals, I don't want you to say ooh when I tell you this. I spent 25 years in the cosmetology industry. So talk about chemicals.
Yeah.
And so I had the acrylic nails, so I'm putting acrylic on, and we're soaking in acetone of all things to take the acrylic off. And so we're using acetone as polish remover, and then we're putting the hair dye right on our heads. And so let's just sit there with hair dye on our heads every 6 weeks for years. And so when I retired in December of 2017, and I'm going to get around to my next question, my next point is within this. When I retired in December of 2017, I kind of went cold turkey, because I felt for some time, and it was hard for me to, you know, make that transition while I was still the owner. I had 5 salons. And so I owned 5 different beauty salons, and all these girls were making their living out of working with these chemicals, the same as I was. But I had that intuition that this can't be good, and it can't be good for any length of time, especially. And so when I finally retired, the first thing I did was I went cold turkey. I got rid of the nails. I haven't colored my hair in, you know, since 2017. it's all those things. And I had to adjust, because I much prefer to have my other hair color that I was using. I would much prefer that, but I just decided I was going to stick to my guns, and I was going to follow my intuition. And so I wanted to ask you, Lauren, how did your intuition play a part in you making a lot of these changes in your life?
It's made a huge part. And that's exactly what I tell people day in and day out. You know, they'll ask me questions, should I do this? Should I do that? Some that have been more recent as far as, you know, controversial topics. And I said, you have to sit with yourself. You have to ask your body that question. You have to see what your visceral reaction is, because there is such scientific evidence behind the connection of the gut to the brain. The gut is actually telling the brain is actually telling the gut, you know, there's these fibers, there's more fibers though, these efferent fibers going from the gut to the brain. So this connection is strong, and the vagal nerve is strong, you know, that connection that just really flows through each of our organs. And it's not something that I necessarily thought much of until I think probably, you know, when I started feeling unwell, and then when my older son and then my younger son. And every time I stray, even the slightest, and it could be the smallest little thing that's not as massive or, you know, seems pretty inconsequential, but I'll tell myself, darn it, Lauren, you knew, you had that little twinge, you felt that little twinge. And I mean, I try not to make those mistakes much anymore, but I knew, and I knew with myself, because I was sitting there and I'm like, my goodness, like if I'm sitting here talking to my close colleague saying XYZ is happening, all my labs are normal, you know, there's nothing we're going to do for you. I'm like, where do you go from here? And on the flip side now, when I have patients come into my office and I sit there and I listen to them and I look them in the eye and I say, you're not crazy. There is something wrong. Keep exploring, keep investigating. I have women crying, you know, hysterically, because they finally feel heard. They finally know that what they're feeling inside is correct, and that there is someone else that understands that there is a connection there. So yeah, the gut brain connection is huge. And that's just something that now I'm always about. I explain that to my kids all the time, you know, when it comes to peer pressure and other things, if you know, if you have that little inkling, that little twinge, but yeah, if you sit with yourself, you know, you'll feel something, whether it's a good feeling, a bad feeling, and go with it, because you know, you don't want to keep making those mistakes. It's not going to continue on and change the course of things. You know, that intuition's always going to be correct. So
good to know.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, Lauren. So I know you're specializing in dermatology as a PA right now. And so number one, how long have you been doing that? And then you're transitioning into your private functional health coaching practice. So what is your specialty with your coaching practice, and how does that relate to your dermatology practice?
Well, I've been in dermatology for about 16 years. I've been practicing medicine for 17. I was in surgery initially, and then I went straight into dermatology. So it's been about 16 years for derm. I have a soft spot for, you know, certain dermatologic conditions that I treat on a regular basis now, and knowing the information and the additional help that I can provide for certain conditions such as hormonal acne, for psoriasis, for eczema, for chronic hives or dermatitis, or things that are just kind of hanging around and coming and going and not really resolving. But there's one particular diagnosis that really has always broken my heart, and it's called hidradenitis separativa, or HS for short. And what this condition is it's basically, think about boils. People know what boils are, you know, but they happen in areas that are certainly exquisitely tender and sensitive, under the arms, under the breasts and the groin creases, in very intimate areas. So you can only imagine with these patients and clients that have these, they're recurring, and they can drain and they can be painful, and think about wanting to to, you know, be in a relationship and all the psychosocial aspects that go with this condition. And it's, we've never had a great treatment for it. There are some that are much better, you know, just in the past few years, but still, it's still one of the, and it's very gut mediated. There's a lot now that I know on that side of what, you know, the different overgrowths and the different imbalances of different gut bacteria that are actually causing these conditions and aiding in a lot of this inflammation. So hidradenitis is one that I love working with that population. And it tends to be women, but more African-American and Latino women. So that's the main population, but it can happen to anyone. I see plenty of Caucasian women, and there's some men that also are impacted by it, but it impacts everyone. It impacts your spouse. It impacts your kids. It impacts, you know, depending on what kind of a day you're having flaring, but the clothing that you can wear, having to wear, you know, other types of soakable, you know, pads and stuff. I mean, I just feel for these people so much that I really enjoy working with them and seeing them turn around. So dermatologic conditions, I mean, I run the gamut. I love working with women who just feel overtaxed and have these symptoms that they just don't really know what to do with, that they know that there's an issue, but they can't really sort it out. But really, because of my derm background, those types of conditions, anything that's dermatologic.
I was so excited, Lauren, this week, right before we were getting on this podcast with you, I was talking to a woman that I've known for a while, and I knew that she had hidradenitis suppurativa, and I just happened to mention you. And she recently lost about 62 pounds. She's been working on her health and her weight. She's lost 62 pounds. And she said that she, at any one given time, she would have about 40 different lesions or boils on her body. So imagine the pain and the suffering what people go through. And like Lauren said, the psychosocial issues, not wanting to wear certain clothing where any of it would be exposed. So at any one given time, she would have like 40 lesions. And after losing this 62 pounds, she said she's down to 2.
Wow. That's I was crazy. Like, it's amazing.
What? I said, so what did you do? She said, I basically cut out processed sugar and junk food and fried and fatty foods. And I had no idea like that. I mean, obviously I knew cutting out the sugar was great for your health and great for weight loss, but I didn't know it could have that kind of an impact on HS. And I wanted to hear from you, like what other treatments or things do you find that are working for these patients? Because I was just so surprised. And then again, I got angry because in our conventional training, back in the day, you know, when I was still training, there was no treatment for it. It's just, if you have a really bad, you know, inflamed lesion, we can put you on antibiotics, we can drain it, we can excise it, but that's it. We never talk about the root cause, you know, of where this might be coming from and other natural health things that are non-invasive. And, you know, people are being put on antibiotics for years and years and years for these conditions. And then it destroys our gut health, which, you know, affects everything. So yeah. What else do you want to share about that, how functional medicine helps these people?
Well, a lot of it is the education, inspiration, and empowerment of actually being able to de-inflame. So through the eating hygiene, learning how to physically eat, learning what to eat, a lot of what you do, Rita, as far as your work with the low glycemic index foods, but in HS too, and some other derm conditions, there's leucine-rich foods actually do cause quite a bit of an issue. So trying to stay eat your meats. Pork actually sometimes can be really aggravating. Eat your meats and your eggs, but on a lower scale, not make them really a huge part of your diet, but, you know, vegetable-rich diet and fiber is huge. Just staying away from the sugar and maximizing, you know, the omegas and the fats and the polyunsaturated fats, really trying to stick with a really solid, nutritious diet where they feel full and satisfied and don't feel like they need to go for those cravings, but also tapping into, you know, because we're human and we have these conditions and conditioning and, you know, depending on what you grew up with. Like for me, my mom always snacked. My mom always went to the cupboard when she was stressed. And that's what I found myself doing. So having these little tricks to help them combat those things. There's all kinds of different garb now, you know, there's hijra wear and other types of materials that they can wear. And a lot of them like the camis that have the shelf bra in, if that's enough support, they like that because then they can put, you know, tissue or pads or something that they find helpful in that condition. But it's getting them to move in a way that their body feels works well, like maybe a yoga, something that's nice and soothing, some kind of movement. It's the principles. You go back to the principles, but finding out if they have, through functional testing, what their gut actually looks like and what types of appropriate markers, because they could have overgrowths of things, but they also could have strange random things like parasites. Like if you have not eaten organic your whole life, you have been exposed to parasites. It's in the meats that we consume, certainly, you know, restaurants and everything. So there's so many different factors, food sensitivities that they might have accumulated because of all the inflammation. And again, it's going back to that N of one and finding out what their environment has been. And that's why I have an extensive health history form, as do you. And it comes back to needing to know as much information as they can tell us, because we certainly can't sit down with a very large, lengthy medical form in our 20-minute appointments in conventional medicine. We don't get to know our patients that way and to know our clients this way. It becomes, you enter into a relationship, and it's so fun to see them come out of their shell. And as these winds keep piling up, and they're just so much happier, and they're in tune with their body, and they're seeing that. And if I eat that, I'm seeing that my body's reacting this way. And as a society, we're so disconnected from our bodies, men more so than women, but it's kind of like the stress is here, and then the rest of the body is like not there. You're like just disassociated. So with these clients, you know, to see them realize, oh wow, like I really, that my body responds in this way to that and this, and to get that real personalized support, it's really cool.
So both of you gals are of course seeing patients. What could the patient do to make the visit more productive for the patient? What could they do to help you? Is it helpful if they bring a list of, because so many times, you know, when those forms, they come into the office and they fill out the form and it says, you know, what medications are you on? They don't even put down supplements oftentimes.
Right.
They just think of prescription meds. Is it helpful if they come to you with more of a list and an overview of what they're eating and what their medications are? Or do you even have time to review that?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, of course we want their list to be complete. And I kind of chuckled because I had someone that I knew well, and I knew she was on other supplements and such. But when I saw her list of medications, it's like the nurse just went through the medications, and that's what we're cued into to knowing. In school, I remember it. I feel like the half an hour that we might have had with complementary medicine was all about like St. John's wort, and that was really about it because it had to interfere with Coumadin. Excuse me. But yes, I mean, you're right. You're right on target there. It's not set up. We're set up to chug through patients in the conventional model. Of course, we want to do the absolute best we can for them. Mm-hmm. And that's where we feel unfulfilled. That's where probably so many practitioners feel unfulfilled. And they might not even have a clue about functional medicine, but they feel unfulfilled in general, just because it's like that very surface type of relationship.
Yeah. But I would say too, at the very least, what they can do, Kathy, is make sure they get to their appointment early, not even on time, but get there a little bit early, and make sure all of their paperwork is completed as much as possibly before they even arrive. I had a patient that just last week, I was so frustrated. I had a 20-minute appointment. It was a 10 o'clock appointment. By the time he got into my office, because now I work with, you know, a lot of weight loss patients, so they have to get weight on the scale and get their vital signs checked also before they see me. He didn't walk into my office until 10:17 for a 20-minute 10 o'clock appointment. And 3 minutes later, I had a telehealth patient waiting for me. So it's not like they're sitting in the office and you'd be like, oh, so we're, you know, running a couple minutes late, but they're telehealth and they're waiting online for you for your next appointment. And to me, I just hate that. It's so stressful. And I felt like I had to kick him out of the office prematurely. And I just hate that. And that's where I love, you know, what we do with our health coaching practices, because we have so much more time to spend with people and we don't have to be obsessed with all the overwhelm of the amount of charting and billing and coding and stuff that we have to do to, you know, meet the insurance requirements and stuff. So yeah, at least be on time.
Right. Yeah. It's just a whole different way of approaching health and having that relationship, that patient, client, patient, you know, provider relationship. So, and you do, you build a friendship. You really do.
Absolutely. And I know we're coming up to the top of the hour. And so I just want to find out, Lauren, what is your overarching message in your own personal coaching business that you want our listeners to hear? And then how can they connect with you?
So, you know, you're not crazy. What you're feeling is real. Continue to move on that path. Find someone that you connect with that you feel is going to take you down that way. And there might be many different types of providers in your path. There's so many different practitioners out there, but starting with someone like Rita or I, you know, to really get the foundation, but we might pull in or might recommend other types of modalities. I see a chiropractor, I've been to acupuncture. You know, there's other types of ways that we can all be healed, and the journey is truly a journey. And it's not going to be as fast as you think with putting something on your skin I find that every client kind of comes to that after a couple sessions. It's like in due time, we talk about it and you realize, oh, wow, I have to unwind what's gone on in my body and the practices that I've had in the last decades. So to really, you know, this is happening. This is real. And I'm validating for you that you do have something going on. So really go explore that. And whether it's, you know, one of us or someone that you find that you just connect with over social media or however they come to you, then really embrace that and see how that can take you further along your journey, because it's pretty amazing what just lifestyle change and some additions of nutrients that you're deficient in and changing, just changing some practices and removing some toxins and all these little things that were just, they haven't been acknowledged in society. And I just really, I do feel like the shift is happening. And I think over the last couple of years, people are becoming more in tune with how to take care of themselves, how to be a little more self-sufficient, how to make sure that them and their families are a lot healthier overall. As far as getting a hold of me, I have a website, laurenzajac.com. For those that have listened to this call, I have a really great offer of a free 15-minute curiosity call to be able to get to know each other, to hear your story a little bit, to see if you feel that you connect with me and I connect with you and where we can move further along your journey. So that on my website, laurenzajac.com/coaching. You can see there, you can schedule along. But also I'm on Instagram at Lauren Zajac Health. I'm on Facebook at Lauren Feldsot Zajac. I'm on LinkedIn, Lauren Zajac, PA. You can find me at a lot of different avenues. But yes, just keep moving forward, because you owe this to yourself. You owe this to your family and others to realize that you can... You can change the trajectory of your life. Genetics is only a very small subset, and we rely on that so much. And that's how I used to always feel, is that, oh, my mom went down this path. I took after my mom a lot. Therefore, I'm going to go down this path. Couldn't be farther from the truth. I don't live the same life that my mother lived. And I know that I'm going to surpass her life. And that's what I wanted to make sure that I had just a much more vibrant being and my kids will see me and I will see my grandkids. So that's my goal.
Lauren, thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. I do want to mention that you can, for those of you that are watching, you can see my name there, Kathy Binner. I am a passive income coach, but there is a big piece of what we do about being healthy first. Health comes before wealth. So even though I am a passive income coach, if you lose your health, what good is it? because oftentimes we lose our health to make money, and then we spend all our money to try to buy our health back. So right. keep your health. So it starts with your health. And that's why these conversations are so important. And you can find the replays for Lauren on the kathybinner.com website. Just scroll down to the Fit as a Fiddle Plus free meetup and click through, and all of our replays are there, and you'll find the replay for Lauren there as well. And also I will put all of her contact information in the replay notes. And so it will have her website. It'll also mention the complimentary 15-minute courtesy call, and I will put her connections to her Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. So that way you can connect with Lauren in all those various different ways. And so I want to open it up before we leave, and I would like for Rita to tell us just briefly what she does and how folks can reach her. And then I want to ask Kyle if he has any final questions.
Awesome. Just want to say thank you, Lauren, so much for coming on. I love you so much. You're such a beautiful person, and I'm so excited for all the people that you're going to be helping in years to come. So I'm Rita Brewer, you guys. I'm a physician assistant as well, just like Lauren. My specialty is lifestyle medicine. I do work in a lifestyle medicine office in the Raleigh area of North Carolina, if you need help in that area. But for my private coaching practice, I help postmenopausal women or menopausal women who are struggling with weight loss or need help reversing their prediabetes and type 2 diabetes. That's my passion that I love doing. My website is ritabrewer.com. You could also book a free call with me there as well. And on social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, you can find me at Rita Brewer Consulting. Thank you, Kathy, as always, for being an amazing hostess with the mostest.
Well, thank you both.
Thank you both.
Yes.
Thank you.
Kyle, any questions from you, Kyle? I know we've been chatting on, and you were driving last we tapped in with you. Do you have any questions for Lauren or for Rita?
Yeah, I don't have any questions per se, but I do think that it's really funny happenstance that this is my first Fit as a Fiddle meeting, and we're talking about the things we're talking about, because I have been very interested in and getting more so interested in everything we've been talking about. I'm a realtor now, but Rita and Lauren, actually, I was on the pre-med path at OSU. My major was molecular genetics, and I was on the path to go into pharmacology research before I got into real estate. So diet and exercise and genetics are still really big hobbies and passions of mine, and I try to stay on top of a lot of the latest, you know, medical journals and stuff being put out there. Lauren, I really liked your analogy of the glass, you know, how full is it versus how many toxins we have received. Something they've been discovering lately about your genetics is DNA methylation. I don't know if you read much about this, but it's not just about the genes you inherit, but it's also about your body's ability to express those genes. And a lot of that is affected by DNA methylation, and your DNA methylation can actually pass down to you from your parents and grandparents and toxins that they were exposed to in their lifetime. So it's all really very fascinating. People hear genetics, they think that that's a free pass. Oh, I've got bad genes, there's nothing I can do about it. Quite the reverse. I think if you have received a glass that's nearly full, it's all the more important to limit your exposure to future toxins going forward. So I liked what you said, you know, just take one small step, pick one room, and start to make incremental improvements there, because it's very important. It's very important to limit our toxicity exposure.
Amen.
And thank you. Yeah, that's
Kyle, thank you for that. Yes, thank you so much. All right, any last comments from anyone? This has been a great conversation. I love it. I learn something every month when we have a different speaker, and I've loved everyone so far that's come on. It's just been amazing. So Lauren, again, thank you for being on, and we will certainly put your information out there, and we will send folks your direction.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, Kathy, and thank you, Rita. It was lovely seeing you again.
You too. Good night.
All right. Good night. Take care. Thank you.
Good night.